Welcome to The Late Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. We're in lesson number 13 today in the study about the Messiah. Tom Murray is currently answering the question, what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? Join us now. Tom takes us step by step through the important points in our study.
Well, welcome back to our Late Disciple study in what kind of Messiah does the Old Testament actually reveal? And what kind of Messiah did the rabbis look for during Jewish history all the way up until the time that Jesus came to the earth? Now, we've looked in Genesis 3:15 and found that the Messiah was predicted to be the seed of the woman, which meant that he would come from humanity. We learned then from the Genesis passage about Abraham that he would be a descendant of Abraham, and therefore the Messiah would come from one particular aspect of humanity, that is, he would be Jewish. Then we learned from Jacob's prophecy in Genesis 49:10 that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. We also learned in that passage that the Messiah had to come before Judah could lose its identity. And so we know from history, subsequent history, that all the records, including those of the tribe of Judah, were lost when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Therefore, the Messiah would have to come before the year 70 AD. We also learned from rabbinic translations of the Old Testament or interpretations that the rabbis taught that Genesis 49:10 passage did refer to the Messiah, and it was treated that way down through Jewish history during Old Testament times. They also gave the Messiah one of his names, Shiloh, because that word comes from the Hebrew word for the amniotic sac where the fetus is in the womb of the mother, meaning that he would be human, and therefore the rabbis argued that the Messiah would be purely human and that he would not be divine. But we shall see as we progress through this study. Now, the next time we have a clue in the Old Testament as to what kind of Messiah the Old Testament actually revealed to mankind comes from the book of Numbers in chapters 22 to chapter 24. And they present us with the story of a man named Balaam. Now, Balaam was a Gentile, and he was an astrologer. That is, he was a seer, and he came from the region around Babylon. Now, he established a considerable reputation for himself throughout the ancient world as being a seer, or you might say as one of those who could see beyond the natural senses. It was widely regarded in that day that he whom Balaam cursed was cursed, and he whom Balaam blessed was blessed. You'll find that in Numbers 22, verses 1 to 6. Pay special attention to verse 6. You can also find that reference in chapter 22, verse 12. But at a point in the exodus from Egypt to the promised land under Moses, Israel arrived, the nation, on the border of Moab, which is in the mountain range to the east of present-day Israel. And Israel was about to enter into the promised land. But the king of Moab, a man named Balak, one of the early anti-Semites in history who was against the Jews, took objection to the prospect of new neighbors being in the land of Canaan and decided that he would take action. He called for Balaam in Babylonia to come, and he commissioned Balaam and paid him a considerable amount of money to come and curse the nation of Israel and pronounce a curse on them. Now, Balaam tried really hard to fulfill his contract with Balak in that he did get up on the hill and he tried to curse Israel. But every time he opened his mouth to pronounce a curse upon the nation of Israel, God overruled and took control of Balaam's tongue, and Balaam wound up pronouncing a blessing upon Israel instead of a curse. Now, of course, Balak wasn't very happy, but Balaam told him he was powerless to stop blessing Israel. Now, the four oracles which Balaam actually uttered in Numbers 23 and 24 that come from the mouth of God as God takes over the tongue of Balaam when he tries to curse Israel, deal, for the most part, these four oracles, not with the first coming of the Messiah, but with the second coming of the Messiah and his setting up his earthly kingdom. But in these four oracles in Numbers 23 and 24, there are several statements which are very relevant to the study we are doing about what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal that the Messiah should be like. Now, the first oracle comes out in Numbers chapter 23, verses 7 to 10. And it said, "He," that is Balaam, "took up his discourse and said, 'From Aram Balak has brought me, Moab's king, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? As I see him from the top of the rocks, and I look at him from the hills, behold, a people who dwells apart and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his.'" Now, in this first oracle, there are a few points that we really need to pay attention to. In verse 8, Balaam points out that he is unable to curse those whom God has not cursed, the nation of Israel. It is sometimes said that Israel's enjoyment of divine blessing is dependent upon just her obedience. But at this particular point in her history, Israel was being disobedient to God. Yet despite her disobedience at Moab, God is still watching over her. Regardless of her obedience or her disobedience, Israel will always be God's chosen and His covenant people. And God will never permit Gentiles to put curses on Israel such that they would be of any eternal effect upon Israel. And that's exactly what Balaam was trying to do. So God, therefore, intervened in that situation, and he overruled the intentions of men, that is, Balak and the Moabites, as well as Balaam from Babylonia. Now, a second point comes out in this first oracle, and that's in verse 9. It is that the Jewish nation will not be reckoned to be a nation as such. Throughout much of their history, the Jewish people have been unable to live in a land that was their own. Now, while the land of Canaan, or what we presently call Palestine, or better still, the land of Israel, belongs to the Jewish nation by divine right, their ability to occupy the land has been largely dependent upon their obedience to God. To man, a people without a land cannot be a nation, which is why in verse 9 we are told, "They dwell alone, not reckoned among the nations." So from God's viewpoint, the people of Israel will always be a distinct nation. It doesn't make any difference whether Israel is in the promised land or scattered abroad through all the nations of the earth. God sees Israel not as the people of a particular place, but as the nation which is descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is why Jewish identity is determined by descent. Jewishness is not determined by the place of birth of a Jew. It is not determined that way, or by religious beliefs of any Jew. It is purely assigned by ancestry. It is irrelevant what an individual Jew may believe or what he may not believe. His Jewish identity is determined by his descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Judaism, as a religion, is, of course, determined by a belief system. But atheist and agnostic Jews will still call themselves Jews, not on a belief system, but because of their lineage, their descent from Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. Now, in the dispersion which occurred in 70 AD with the destruction of the temple by the Romans, the Jews had for centuries been not reckoned among the nations. That is, Israel did not have a separate national status. They have been called American Jews, Polish Jews, Russian Jews, and on and on. And which is not entirely wrong to call them. An American Jew is a Jew that descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that lives in America. But if you're speaking biblically and purely biblically, that wouldn't really be correct to call them an American Jew. A Jew can never be American, Polish, or Russian. A Jew can only be a Jew with a quite distinct national identity. Even after four centuries of slavery in Egypt, Jews in Egypt were not called Egyptians, they were called Israel by the Egyptians. And if you go to the Haggadah, which is the order of the Jewish Passover, it says this, "And there became a nation in the wilderness, by which we are informed that the children of Israel were distinct, even in Egypt. They were a peculiar nation." Now, this may not be recognized by most Gentiles today, but in God's eyes, Israel will always be separate, distinct, and unique among the nations of the world. As Balaam prophetically looks forward to the future of this nation of Israel, he sees that God's final destiny for them is one of supreme blessing. Well, we're out of time, so we'll pick it up there next time.
Thank you, Tom. Isn't this a great series? You can get copies of this series by calling us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 1-866-685-3385. You can also reach us at our new website. The address is www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. Now make plans to join us tomorrow right here for The Lay Disciple.